Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Bowen and Duffy lie awake in their beds, waiting for their presents while resting their heads. "What could it be?" said Duffy with a gleam. "A new pair of Terex? Or maybe cortisone cream?" Bowen wished for trousers that cover his butt, and a new set of putters so he could finally learn to putt. But when morning finally came, they both rushed to see, down the stairs and to the Christmas tree. "Upper Park!" they yelled with glee. "It's the new Rebel bag, with a 30-disc capacity. With room for all your discs and gear for the day, you'll be flying high like Santa's sleigh. Visit upperparkdiscgolf.com this holiday season and save yourself 10% with our code INTHECHAINS10. With a full range of quality bags, you're sure to find one that's perfect for your needs.
Welcome back to a very, very Christmassy In the Chains. And on the tee box tonight with me, in the spirit of Christmas, I've gone pantomime, we've got the two ugly sisters and Cinderella. So I'll let you guys figure out who's Cinderella and who's the two ugly sisters amongst yourselves. But we've got Josh Birmingham, we've got Tom Bowen, and we have the return of the one and only Dennis Jones. How's it going?
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Good, man.
Wait, where you been?
On hiatus. I've been hiding in my hole.
What is? Didn't we discover that hiatus is a disease?
Yes, of course.
Sure, it is. Yeah. Bowen. Wow, nothing has changed since I left.
He's fully cured now, though, Bowen.
Yeah, it's not like herpagonosyphilates, you know, the gift that keeps on giving.
We can say nothing's changed that end either. No, as well.
still bad jokes.
So, so nice to have you back, Dennis. It's been in the works now for a couple of months to have you on the Christmas special. I don't know what's special about it. I'll probably put some bells or something in
it. You're going to call it the Christmas one and
all that sort of stuff. But, how you been? The listeners will want to know.
Yeah, I've been doing good. Busy working, busy finishing the disc golf tour, playing bad like usual. Well, yeah, I was the tour champion, but that's only because I played more events than anybody else in this country.
I'd hate to say that I did work out the average points per tournament.
Of course you did, because I bet you won, didn't you, Duffy, if it was like that?
I can't remember what the numbers were, but I did work it out to say.
I cannot beat Duffy in a tournament.
You did.
You have twice now, Dennis.
Twice in a row.
Well, yeah, I know. I just wanted to hear you guys say it, so thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
We shouldn't have said that.
Last two events of the season as well. It's like the best time to do it. Just leave that taste in his
that's
mouth.
That's true. Well, I heard you guys already talked about champs and Duffy's absolute blow up.
Yeah.
But don't worry. He's not the only one that had one. Mine just weren't that bad.
How bad was Duffy's, Dennis? How bad?
Bad enough where I didn't want to talk to him or ask him about it.
Was he angry?
Not outwardly angry, but you could tell he was upset. And I knew the score at one point, and we actually passed each other. And so I
were you laughing?
No, because I'm not a dick. but I looked at him, and I just wanted to be like, "Hey, man, how's it going?" Or knowing the score, I just wanted to hear him say it. And he kind of looked at me and just shook his head, and I was like, "All right, cool. I'll leave it at that."
I'm better because from my background and my friends outside of disc golf are very much piss takey. So if I was to be sulking or something like that, or be like annoyed or something like that, they would just laugh at me. And like my dad would do that, mates would do that, and like I react better because then I laugh and I think, what am I getting so worked up about? And like, I chill out more then. What I don't react to as well is if somebody goes, Oh, come on, Duff. Like, you got another two rounds to go. You might not be able to win, but you could do that. Like, do you know what I mean? I'd much rather somebody go, Jesus, that's the worst round of the weekend. And it's the first round. And like, or something like, take the mick like that.
It's embarrassing because I would have even beat you that round.
Wow, that's okay. Yeah, that's a low blow, Bowen.
Try to keep the gloves up.
I've got to give him some shit anyway, haven't I?
Yeah, but obviously me and Dennis, we play quite regularly even since you've left the podcast or whatever, or had the hiatus, or however you want to frame it. We've played quite a bit, and like the good thing about like when me and you play is we flip flop. Like we can have like I can be on top for like a month or two. And then you can be on top for a month or two.
Well, yeah, it's, like you said, it's one of those things. We've always been very competitive with each other. And since the tours ended and we're kind of in this off-season period, you know, you and I still go play. We actually met up with Bowen a couple of days ago and played. And we're still competitive. You know, we're not keeping score right now, but we are still playing like match play. Duffy and I have always been competitive with each other. And so we're playing. And we're trying to get better, but we're also kind of keeping that competitive streak going. And lately, I think the last few weekends that we've gone and played, I've won match play, but this weekend, Duffy won both of our rounds. So we're still flip-flopping. Either way, we both have a lot to work on, don't we?
Well, you gave me a run for my money, second round fairways, after we filmed.
Yeah, I've been bragging to some of our mutual friends about that. It wasn't necessarily that I was playing great. It was more you were playing way below your skill level. But yeah, for 9 holes at fairways, I was even with Josh Birmingham.
Hey, man.
And
it's the small victories.
And then he ran away with it.
But haven't we established that Josh is under the decline anyway because he's getting older? And also, he's been hanging around with me and Duffy too long. So, if you rub against crap, it sort of turns you into crap, doesn't it?
This is true. He's definitely lowering his game playing with you.
So, yeah, it seemed like a week ago after the rounds with you guys, I had like the worst round of my life at Croydon. And today, now that I've had some time away, I had 2 record-setting rounds with an ace in one of them.
What did you shoot today?
Congratulations!
Thank you. I don't like to brag, but I do.
You just did.
Do you hold the course record? I saw something on Instagram. Have you got the course record?
On the red course, which is the short course, boo, and the blue course, I set the new record today. So I set the new records on the red and blue.
But what did you shoot?
I had the gold course record for about 2 hours, and then someone immediately beat it by 2 strokes. So I won't say their name.
What does it rhyme with? We like these. What does it rhyme
Schmen
with?
Schmavies.
So see if the guests can figure out, the listeners can figure out who that might be.
That's a good contest. But
how, Josh, just out of interest, how much praise do you give to Bowen for your record setting round today for the tips that he perhaps passed on to you at fairways?
I just want to say Bowen and I were a great team, and all the tips he gave me I actually used.
Thank you, Josh. Talking about thumbers, let's talk about let's talk about tilt thumbers, shall we, Josh?
Yeah, we should.
On a specific hole.
We're not bringing this up again.
We are bringing this up again. Well, on a specific hole, a specific throw, we have had 2 people close enough to me and Duff both say that you cheated. I have video evidence that I've shared with Dennis, Josh and yourselves, and Dennis and Josh both agree with me. You altered the camera angle to suit yourself. You can see it on your video, so you didn't even do a good job of covering it.
I've already reported it to Sky News. They're going to show the clip tonight on the news.
Yeah. What have you got to say in your defense?
All I would say is, you know these 2 people that you said were close to us?
Yeah.
They're no longer close to me. So
your ship is sinking, Duff. It's sinking.
They are dead to me. I don't know who they are, but they are dead to me.
I'll tell you what. They're coming for you. Something's going to happen because you've lied, and it just shows you're not an honest person.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, there's been a lot of people that watch this video. And last week, it sounds like you guys on the show asked for people's input. Plus, on the video, you asked for people's input. Has anybody written to the show and told you what that
yes,
like actual
we've,
people?
We've had,
other than
yes,
other than the two of us.
There are YouTube comments.
Yes, and there's I have like proof in a WhatsApp conversation that Duffy is in.
I think I was
cheated out of it.
I think this week the listeners should decide what meal Duffy has to buy Bowen.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Is it fish and chips?
We've now got him lying. We've now got him going against like his word. And we've now got him threatening like murder, haven't we?
My argument for that particular thing is, if I wasn't confident that I was in the right, with me and Kay having editing control, would I put it in?
What did Kay say? Because we haven't heard from Kay yet.
She says it's in the middle, exactly the same as me.
Well, it can't be exactly the same.
Answer that. I have editorial control. Well, me and Kay do. If I felt I was in the wrong, and I felt other people would say, "Oh no, yeah, you lost," why would I include it in the video?
You don't need to answer for your wife. Go and get her now.
No.
That exactly.
Moving on, everybody's seen.
No, we can't move on yet.
Yeah, we can. The two masterful puts, the one to keep us tied, and the one to win. We'll gloss over the fact that they were the only two puts that I made in the whole 14, 15 holes or whatever we played.
The ones you needed the most.
I'm not going to say anything because I could like ruin the video as well.
I'm not saying anything because I've lost interest now.
I'm guessing though. I'm saying it's safe to talk about it, Dennis, because I think even at the time of recording this, we've got like 2,300 views.
So you guys didn't notice that when we were on the uphill hole, I was supposed to be locked out, but we threw from my disc.
So, what?
Bowen. Okay, first of all, even with the cheating, he and I were winning after the original 9 holes as slated. Anyway, we won.
We won.
But in the intro that we did 17 times, we said we were going to play holes 4 through
11, which doesn't even add up to 9 holes
right.
Anyway.
So we played 4 through 11.
Bowen, I would just like to say congratulations to a nicely played round. Good victory, buddy.
I've only got a cup of tea. Congratulations.
Cheers.
The confusion led from the fact that we played Fairways Tournament the week before, and hole 4 was where we started, and hole 11 was where we were planning on finishing, but forgetting the fact that there was about 4 holes that we missed in the tournament.
I just did 4 plus 9 equals 13.
Yeah.
And we should stop on hole 13.
What hole did we actually stop on?
I don't know. 14, 15?
I was just coming out to have a good time with some friends and throw some plastic.
Well, and cheat.
But the friends never turned up, Dennis. That's the issue.
Right, Josh.
That's what we're saying.
If you're not cheating.
If you guys respecting us as friends, you would not
if
cheat.
If you're not cheating, you're exactly. trying. Actually, it was after we threw where I looked at Duffy and I was like, uh-oh. We just threw from the wrong spot.
And you know, at one point I was like, I almost asked you guys if you were locked out or not. And then I was like, you know what? We shouldn't worry about that. I shouldn't worry about that. You guys are not going to be dishonest because we're
exactly.
just friends.
And you know what, Josh? They confused us by arguing about that tilt placement just to get us roiled.
We were thinking about that on the next tee. You've taken it too far.
You've lost a lunch, a round of golf, and your dignity.
How did I just end up having to pay for Bowen's lunch?
Duffy's not.
I had nothing to do with the tilt throw. Nobody wants to talk about how I was the only one that threw a good shot on that hole.
Wait, my shot was good. What? I outdrove everyone.
You did not outdrive me.
You didn't get past the camera.
Yeah, I did.
Did I?
Dennis, all I'm saying is, and I think you'll be in the same position, I'm confident we could go to any other course, bar Croydon, and take those two clans on and beat.
I will
include Croydon that you and me, same thing, modified doubles against Josh and Bowen. Any course in the country, you and I will win. All 18 holes.
They're talking shit. They're talking absolute shit.
I'll up the stakes. So, we'll up the stakes.
No, no, we're not having pretend lunches again.
The winner, and there's going to be a clear winner this way, the winners pay for the other one's lunch.
Okay.
No, Josh. No,
but you already have a free lunch built in. So if you lose, you're going Dutch on the date. You buy your own lunch and they buy their own lunch.
So yeah, so we've talked about the success of the video. I'm really pleased with how that worked out. The only problem that we will address for next time is the audio.
Is that the only problem we should address?
Yeah.
Maybe choose the right amount of holes as well.
No, like make sure that Duffy's phone, which is our camera, is not on vibrate mode.
It is off vibrate.
Well, it needs to be in airplane mode. That's rookie mistake.
It can't be an airplane mode because for it to be attached to the gimbal.
Whatever.
No, North Korea again.
Just, hey, everyone just remember, we won.
Yeah. Yeah, if you like.
Will you admit it? Will you admit it?
No, not that's not fine. Close.
Will you admit after 9 holes that we won?
Even if I thought you won, I still wouldn't say you won. I'd say Josh won.
Did Josh win after 9 holes?
All I can say is that Duffy can throw a P2 and Josh can throw a pie pan.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Right. So what I was thinking was, we've got Dennis back on the show. Why not? We haven't done this on the show yet and it's a bit of a special, so I thought we'll trial it. Have a little quiz.
Are we going to do some news? I want to be a part of the news.
I know why Dennis is saying this. He's trying to drop me right in it here. I didn't get back from work.
Fake news.
It's not going. It's been cancelled this week because
it's fake.
I didn't get. Okay.
By the way, Bowen, it's pronounced Noreen.
It's not. It's not. That's where you're wrong,
Bowen. Okay, so we want 3 news segments. Quick now.
Cloudbreaker 2 dropped today.
It would be the Cloudbreaker 3, so that's a good job.
Yeah. There we go, yeah. Paul Macbeth is going to Gateway. throwing the wizard. The special edition disc is called The Wizard's Sleeve. And let's think. We're now... they're opening up the first disc golf course in the middle of the ocean next week, in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Excellent.
There we go.
Just out of, they missed a trick, to be fair, Gateway. If they make a bag, they should have a little, rather than a putter pocket, they should have the wizard's sleeve, shouldn't they?
Why does everyone laugh when Duffy recycles my joke?
I laughed.
Josh did.
Because it's all about the delivery. Bowen, don't feel bad. Nobody ever laughs at my jokes either.
I noted the pause then. I'm sorry, Dennis.
Josh.
Yeah?
Take it away. You don't even know what's going on, do you?
What are we actually doing?
Zero idea.
Duffy's quiz. Oh.
Let's see.
Are you going to cheat at this as well, are you?
No, because I'm asking the questions. You're
still going to find a way to cheat.
All right, here we go. Duffy's quiz.
Quiz.
Duffy's quiz.
Quiz. Wah, wah, wah. Papa, papa, papa. Wah, wah, wah. Meow, meow. Right, so if you've got a bit of pen and paper, and we're going to make it so the listeners play along as well. If you win the quiz, your Christmas wish. That's hard to say. Christmas becomes wish true. Becomes true anyway, so...
I just want my friends not to cheat me.
That's first on my list, Bowen.
I just want friends.
Wait there. Well, you're looking in the wrong place here, Dennis.
So how are we going to do it? It's 10 questions. So we're going to run through the 10 questions, and then we'll go through the answers after. So, are we ready for question 1?
No, because I can't find my notes. Tap on my phone.
Is this disc golf related?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's disc golf related.
Okay.
I can't believe Duffy actually did some legwork for a segment.
Okay. He's really been killing it lately.
Okie doke. So, let's go. Question one. So, who won the Las Vegas Challenge MPO title in 2021? So, the first tournament of the season last year, Pro Tour. Who won the event for the MPO field?
How long do we get per question?
Not long enough to Google it, you cheating bastard.
I'm not going to Google it. I'm not going to Google it.
I know who won it the year before.
Oh, I do. This... It was Nate Sexton the year before, wasn't it?
Hey.
You get 0.1 point for that.
How?
It's just a joke, Bone, just a joke. So question two. James Conrad threw the greatest shot of all time at the World Championships to beat Paul Macbeth. But who were the other two card mates on their card?
I know one.
Shit.
How many do we need both to get a point?
That's a good question.
I think I've got it.
Oh, I know one of them for sure.
Same here. I know one for sure.
Give me...
Dennis, you tell me your one for sure and I'll tell you my one for sure.
No, we're not...
I'm joking.
Okay.
Damn. I don't have a second option.
Question three. We've had numerous guests on the show over our first and the year just gone, which was our first year. That's what I was supposed to say. Vanessa Van Dyken was the first disc golfer on the show. But who was our second? That was pre Mr. Birmingham days.
Well, let's see if he was a true fan and actually listened.
Me and Dennis should get this.
You know I did, but you also know my memory is shot. Drugs are bad, okay?
Okay.
Innova released a bunch of Halo discs for various sponsored players this year. But whose sponsored disc was the Halo Leopard 3?
Easy.
Okay. Right. Written something down. Question five. Who is the 2021 Women's USDGC champion?
Ooh.
An interesting one. I don't know if you remember going back. It was the one where it wasn't going to be filmed and one of the... I think Disc Golf Pro Tour, I think, stepped in at the last second to film it, I think.
2021 USDGC.
Well, yeah, WDGC is not the same as... Yeah, that's the one that was in during the summer.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm changing my answer.
Okay. So, number six. There is one company that has two 15-speed discs. What company produced these discs? You don't need to give me the names of them.
Wait, sorry. Say that again.
There is one company that has two 15-speed discs. What company produces these discs?
I know it.
Just need the company name.
Oh, I've had them in my hand. It's not what I think it is.
Yeah, I think you've got it, and you're trying to deflect.
No, I don't have it. I have held it in my hand.
Question seven. In what state is the world famous Idlewild disc golf course in?
Right.
What state? And don't put, oh, it's in a really good state.
I used to live in that state.
That doesn't really narrow it down too much, does it?
It doesn't narrow it down.
Tell us in German, Dennis.
It's the same in German or English. Yeah. So.
Which company makes the disc called the Whale?
I think I got that.
Can I get a bonus point if I name the person that putts with it?
No. You just told us it's a putter, though, so thank you.
Duffy putts with a fucking Leopard 3.
Whose signature disc is it, though, Dennis?
The person that has their name on it.
Question nine. Paul Macbeth broke records on getting a new deal this year. The deal is over a 10-year period, but how much is the deal worth in total?
He bought a McLaren, didn't he?
He bought the McLaren before the deal. Was public. He bought the McLaren before the deal was public.
So he bought it with the McLaren, with the deal money?
No, because his previous deal was still a really good deal. And he could have bought it with the money from that.
Which team won the Secret Santa in the chains round released this week?
I don't think this is fair because technically me and Josh won.
But put down what you think is going to be the right answer.
I thought you were going to do like something true or false. Bowen got the tilt further than the flag.
Okay.
And B, out of principle, I'm going to lose a point.
So, question one. Who won the Las Vegas Challenge MPO title in 2021?
Eagle McMahon.
Who did you say, Dennis?
Eagle.
Correct.
Damn it.
Eagle McMahon.
Who did you put, Josh?
Duffy, are you going to keep track of points?
No, just remember how many points you get.
Is it 1 point for...
1 point for each question. There should be 10 points.
Okay, you have to get the whole question right to get it right.
James Conrad, greatest shot of all time, beat Paul McBeth at the World Championships. But who were the other two card mates on their card?
I got Calvin.
One of the people was Nate Sexton.
And Calvin then?
I put Sexton and Ricky.
I put Ricky and Sexton.
I put Calvin and Ricky.
So only one of you got one person.
That was me.
Yeah, Calvin.
Yeah.
And the other one was Kevin Jones. I don't know if you remember, he sort of had a bit of a...
Oh, I don't. I put Nate because Nate was in like second place for half the tournament.
No, it was Calvin and Kevin.
Okay.
I remember Calvin congratulating James Conrad. That's how I remember Calvin. Do I get anything for that?
You don't get any points for that, unfortunately.
No, but I got more right than Dennis and Josh.
No, but I don't get any points, so you don't get any points.
Question three. We've had numerous guests on the show over the last year. Vanessa Van Dyken was the first disc golfer on the show, but who was our second?
Thomas Gilbert.
I was going to say Chris Clemens.
Thomas Gilbert.
Chris Clemens was the third.
I am 0 out of 3 right now.
Thomas Gilbert was the second. Innova released a bunch of Halo discs with various sponsored players this year, but whose Halo disc was the Halo Leopard 3?
Dennis knows Scoggins.
This.
Yeah, own Scoggins.
Yeah.
I got one.
Yay!
I'm sending this to Duffy just to prove I'm not cheating, so he knows the answers that I've done before he says
them. I'm not sending shit because I'm not going to win shit.
Question five: 2021 Women's DGC Champion.
Kat Allen.
Nope.
What was that? Oh.
Sarah Hokum.
Dennis.
Hayley King.
I put Katrina Allen, but I want to say it's...
Missy Gannon?
If I said it's the most obvious one.
Paige Pierce?
Yeah.
I thought about this way too hard. I did too.
I was tempted not to put that one in, and I thought, no, I reckon that'll catch them out because they'll think it's not Paige.
Was Kat world champion then? Because she released a 2x disc, didn't
she? She did win Worlds.
Yeah.
Because she kind of did to Paige what James did to Paul.
Yeah.
Question six. There was one company that has 2 15-speed discs. What company produced these discs?
I think I've got it. Latitude.
Anybody else?
I'm going to say MVP.
I put Castoplast just because of the person that you interviewed.
Jesus. Bowen's going to win this.
What?
Is it Latitude?
Yeah, the Miscellan. Now, I'm going to get this wrong, but it's the Miscellan, which is missile in Swedish, I presume. Oh, is it Finland or Sweden that Latitude come from?
Scandinavia.
And Raketen. But that's probably wrong as well, but... Those are the two discs, anyway.
So missile and rocket?
Yeah. Yeah, probably, yeah.
He does speak German.
Question seven. In what state is the world-famous Idlewild disc golf course found?
Shall I go because I'm an idiot? Virginia.
Kentucky.
Correct.
Just south of Cincinnati.
Okay.
What did you get, Josh? You didn't get Kentucky, did you?
No.
I guess Missouri. I was kept trying to think.
Missouri?
I thought it was. Never mind. Let's just go ahead.
Are there any courses in Virginia?
Yeah.
That are on the tour? What ones are on the tour in Virginia?
On the tour. I don't know.
None.
Battle for Bedford's a Silver Series.
Okay.
Or no, it's a big A tier. I think it was Silver Series. I don't know. Nothing that's on. Yeah. Anyways, moving on.
Question 8. Which company made the Whale disc?
Innova?
Innova?
Yes, Innova. Correct.
Yeah, 100%.
That was a gimme.
Yeah. There's a couple of gimme, and this next one's a gimme as well.
Dennis has beaten me here, because I've got the last question wrong.
Paul Macbeth broke records on getting a new deal this year. The deal is worth 10 mi-
Thanks. 10 million. Got it.
Correct. I got it. Correct. I got it right.
Yeah. How much is the deal worth in total?
$10 million.
Yeah, I would assume that you all got that without me fluffing my lines.
Yes.
Question 10. Final question. Which team won the Secret Santa in the Chains round just released on video on YouTube?
Eat my shorts.
Tom and Josh.
Duffy and Dennis. But if I can say something, I think everybody watching was a winner.
Disc golf's a winner, Dennis.
Disc golf's a winner. Watching my bad form, Bowen's thumbers, Duffy trying to take control, and Josh showing everybody how to actually play disc golf.
So how many did we get them?
I've got 5.5.
There's no halves.
I've got Calvin Heinberg. That's at least, if that's a tiebreaker, I should get it for that as a tiebreaker.
I will say if it's a tie, I will give you the win because you got Calvin.
You got 6, didn't you?
I got 7.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I got number 1, number 3, number 4, number 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah, that makes it right. Congratulations, Dennis.
Know what? I'm just used to winning.
Yeah.
How many did you get, Josh?
Not as many as that. How many?
Two.
So what the thing Bowen yells most after he throws?
4.
So, but here's what we just learned. I watch way too much disc golf content. Bowen has no idea what's going on, and instead of like paying attention to disc golf, Josh is out there playing it.
That is really true.
I run a disc golf shop with someone, and I got all the disc questions correct.
You also run the news and got all the tournament questions incorrect. So I wouldn't take too much logic into that.
Roasted.
You got meatball.
You can't argue those facts.
Yeah. The facts is the facts.
That boom roasted episode of The Office. It's always the best. Whenever you do that, roasted, it always cracks.
Angela? Oh, I didn't see you there standing behind that grain of rice. Boom, roasted.
That'll be completely irrelevant for the people.
I'm only laughing because everybody else is laughing. I've never seen the show.
Oh, you must watch it. If you've got time over the holidays, crack into season 1 and you will not stop.
You've got a good couple of months worth of viewing as well.
That was a good segment. You guys should do something like that every week. Maybe switch it around.
No, I'm thinking we have a 2021 quiz champion. So that's you on the show, Dennis.
Well, that would be me. I've won everything.
No, what I'm thinking is, so Dennis is the team champion. Who, if anybody, got more than 7? I'd be interested to know. Send us a message. And the highest score, I'm counting on everybody's honesty.
Why? Because you're so honest?
Yes, correct. Boom, roast it. Yeah, so if you, being honest, if you got more than 7, let us know and you can have a chance of being the In The Chains quiz champion for 2021.
Duffy will send you some free shit.
I won't.
No, you won't. That's what I said to
you. moving swiftly on. Dennis isn't the only guest we have on the Christmas show for our first year. We actually have another guest on the show this week for the Christmas special. We have the one and only Zoe Ann Dyke, the pro disc golfer and executive director of You Play Disc Golf. So let's go over to the interview. So hello, Zoe Ann Dyke. How are you?
Hi, I'm really good. Thank you so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure and an honor to talk about Uplay on any platform. So thank you guys.
No, it's our pleasure. Really appreciate you coming on. So just as a brief background, I think it'd be a good idea. I mean, a lot of people's going to know Uplay anyway. They watch the Disc Golf Pro Tour, they see all the adverts, they know what Uplay is about. But if you want to just give people who perhaps aren't aware about Uplay, what sort of the organization's doing and what's it about?
Sure. All right. Well, the quickest way to say it, because there's so much to talk about, is Universal Play Disc Golf is the technical name. We call it Uplay for short. And we are a 501c3, an established nonprofit for 4.5 years now. We established and we became incorporated in 2017. And the mission, we incorporated for the purposes of promoting health and well-being and enhancing communities through the provision of disc golf educational programs. So really, that's our one-liner mission statement. And for those of you out there that, you know, want to read the words or hear what it really means, is Uplay is using disc golf literally as the vehicle to make the world a happier and a healthier place.
We certainly need that at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
So obviously you go in, the main bulk of it is you go into schools and you work with children from, I think, is it 4 to about 18, something like that?
I'm going to pause you right there. So we have a couple of different programs. The Disc Golf Pro Tour and the Elite Series teaching tour is the bulk or the majority of the big product that we do. Mm-hmm. And along the Elite Series events, so there'll be 15 of them next year, Uplay goes into a school somewhere close in vicinity. And if it's summertime, we pick another youth organization and we go in, whether it's like a boys and girls club, a different sports camp, you name it. Anyway, so we go in, we take over the entire PE department or activity plan of the day. We teach disc golf and we leave the school or the organization with enough equipment and a teaching guide to be able to sustain. And then the follow-up is we invite them to the Disc Golf Pro Tour event for free, you know, because those spectator passes, disc golf is monetized now, and spectator passes are not maybe expensive to some, but not cheap, certainly. And so we don't want money to be the reason, one, that schools can't participate, and two, wouldn't be able to come watch. So the Pro Tours partnership is super incredible because we can continue. Not only are we resourcing the schools and we're gifting the information and the equipment, we're also gifting the students and their families and staff the spectator passes to come and see what it looks like on the highest stage.
Yeah, you're basically giving them the aspiration as well as the tools to work with. Yeah, I like it. How have you found certainly that aspect of going to schools? How have you found that in sort of in COVID times? I can see by your reaction.
I saw the last video I saw of you doing some work in a school. Everyone's masked up, you know, properly and everything. So that's a part of it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I feel like one of my most amazing natural gifts is the fact that my voice projects like I have a microphone, but let me tell you, with a mask in front of it, I've got to really crack down on my voice coaching sessions because it is so incredibly hard. But, you know, when the pandemic first hit, everything was off the table and I was at a loss, just like the rest of the world, with how do I pivot? How does Uplay, how are we going to teach? And there were certainly some different video and online methods. A couple of professors from universities actually pretty much just had Uplay or Zoe for the whole class period be, you know, what they were going to watch or listen to on video. But you can only get so much done without being there in human. So through 2020 and half of 2021, that till the end of that school year ended, we were at a loss and we weren't able to be in schools. And then as the world slowly kind of tries to open up, even though we're still in really unprecedented times. We are able, state by state, it doesn't matter. UPlay has a policy, you know, we've got vaccinated staff or boosted staff. We've got all of our background checks regularly done. But UPlay's policy for all of our pro coaches and employees is that we stay masked up indoors all of the time. And only can we pull it down outdoors if we're in a safe distance away from all of the students. And then each school, property by property, state by state, province by province, even up in Canada, they've got their own policies with their students that they have to follow. But I basically err on the side of protect myself and protect my staff. And I feel really, really comfortable now with the way that we're operating in schools. It's pretty cool. And I know that we're alive again. You know, I felt like we were in such a paused motion of just like a dead zone of not being able to teach. Yeah. And now that we're back, it's almost better than ever. And the students are, we're at a 100% engagement rate. Nobody ever sits out. The kids are so hungry and so excited for something new and for this attention. The PE teachers, I feel like we're pumping lifeblood back into them because the kids are excited. Yeah, and teachers, you know, I think this is one of the toughest times for teachers specifically. Yeah, definitely. So disc golf is actually really, really helping teachers boost their morale too.
Yeah. Go on, Bone. Sorry.
I was going to say, Zoe, how have you found not just with UPlay, but the overall uptake of disc golf in America has been during the pandemic? Because in the UK over here, we've had a real boost with it. We've had loads of people joining.
Ourselves, really.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, the pandemic actually, in a crazy way, was one of the best things that ever happened to disc golf. And I think that's international. We're hearing reports from every single country that disc golf is exploding. And then if you look at the numbers, the membership numbers in the PDGA, and then you look at the numbers or lack of inventory from different basket and disc manufacturers, the growth of disc golf is, I don't even think there's a word we can use to describe just how big and popular and necessary it's become.
Yeah. How did you start it? Did you just do like solo lessons on your own and then, you know, come up with this idea or just how did it come about?
Thank you for asking. This is actually a pretty cute story and I try to condense it because it's such a
multiple
part, but really my background, I used to be a PE teacher at a girls' high school. So my career from 2005 to 2009, that was my first teaching job. And I feel like I was just so blessed because it was for a therapeutic boarding school. And so I know that we have those all over the world where at-risk youth can be sent to a boarding school. And I was at a high school aged girls at risk boarding school. And I was,
wow.
So you add on the layers of what that is.
And I did a little snooping on you. You're only a couple of years older than me. So you couldn't have been much older than some of those girls, I'm imagining.
No. Yeah. I was the youngest, hippest staff member. And, you know, I was 21 years old when I was hired. And so, you know, here's these 13 to 18 year olds and we were very relatable, you know, like I was hip.
They'll talk anyways, to you.
So that was my teaching background as far as just PE teacher and understanding what that means and what that is. But then you add on the layers of what the school was. So I was sent to a lot of specialized trainings in those 4 years, motivational speaking, life coaching, trust activities, how to protect yourself from acting out humans, you know, like all of these really specialized trainings were part of being a staff member at the Academy at Sisters. And then you add on top that I had free curriculum. So pass fail, basically, I got to, sky was the limit on anything I wanted to teach. And so I set myself up for all kinds of different trainings as far as just athletics and sports in general. And so I got to actually implement my very, very first disc golf curriculum or unit at that academy. And at that time, you know, I was an AM player. I was the weekend warrior. Once I was done working, I was finding a tournament to go play around Oregon, and I was playing women's advanced. And that was a very unique time. And then also, you guys need to know, I've been a professional swimming coach and volleyball coach literally since before I graduated high school. And then I, you know, ended up taking further trainings in swimming to continue in advance. And
so you're one of those hated lucky people that are good at every sport they're trying,
by the side. Yeah.
She's a Sagittarius. We're good at everything.
Yes.
You put yourself into that category, Josh.
That's right. Yeah. I noticed we were the same. I was like, all right, this is going to be good.
Yes. So a little bit, you know, very addicted to action-based and what can we do, and sky's the limit. Like, there is no limits on the way I operate anyways with sports. And so then I moved up to Alaska in 2009, kind of for the next adventure, even though I did some teaching and I managed a boys and girls club. And then I also was like a swim instructor, but that time in Alaska was really just a unique time for me. I was there for 2 years. A lot of snowboarding was involved because I'm pretty big snowboarder, but
another sport you're good at then.
Yeah. But those 2 years were a really interesting timing for me to just be on the next adventure. And then when I was ready to move back down to the lower 48, I decided I wanted to try playing the professional disc golf tour. And at that time, I didn't even really know what that meant, but I knew I was ready to go try my hand at playing pro. So 2012 rolls around. I go.
Oh, wait, but before that, 2010, you were the Alaska state champion for the female advance.
Yes. Yep. All right. Thanks. So, that was my first state that I took over, was the biggest one.
I was going to say, yeah, the biggest. That's it. All right. Sorry. Yeah.
No, so thank you.
Least populated, I would imagine, but the biggest. The biggest in size. Yeah.
Thank you for doing your homework, because those are really special memories, and they're all a piece of like the puzzle that, you know, started to get put together, you know, from back then. Anyway, so I come back down and I play the pro tour in 2012 and lost a lot of money. It was a hard year. I think I went backwards something like $12,000 in that calendar year. Jesus, financially.
Bloody, yeah.
But you know what? My father was kind of like, all right, are we done with this? Are you going to get back to teaching now? Like, I want to see my daughter successful. And I understood, and I knew he had my best interest at heart, but I wasn't done yet. And the 1 year on tour wasn't enough. But what was not cool for me is I'm a teacher and I'm a coach and I like to help and I like working with other people. That's why I was put on this earth. And the Disc Golf Pro Tour, in the most positive and professional way I can say this, is a very selfish endeavor. Any musician or any professional athlete must be selfish if they're going to be good at what they're doing.
Yeah.
And for me, it was too selfish. I needed to give. And I saw that the biggest need in disc golf was education. And so that literally unfolded the entire stage that I wouldn't even know. I didn't even know what a nonprofit was necessarily until I got into the inner workings of starting one. And so I started teaching in schools kind of under my own thing independently in 2013. And that's when I started writing my early scratch notes and kind of cartoon stick figures of a curriculum. Okay. And so that's when it started. And then all these years later, through every clinic, every private instruction, every group instruction, I just continued to compile the notes and I continued to gain the experience to now, all these years later, write the You Play book. So it's like playbook, but the You Play book, which is our curriculum. It actually is going to market in early 2022. But after all these years of testing and retesting and retesting, bringing the pros in, bringing other athletic educators, you know, I really do believe that You Play's basic teaching method and advanced teaching methods are absolutely the most digestible and the easiest for anyone to pick up. Anyone. Like, I think a kid could pick up the You Play book and teach their parents. which is even better, right, than just the teachers picking it up.
Sounds like something you could read, Bowen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a good way. That's a good way to be, isn't it? Because just because you're, and this isn't aimed at you, just because you're good at a sport doesn't mean you can teach that sport, does it? That's a thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. It takes a special kind of individual to be able to teach and instruct. And I don't believe that just any really good like biomechanics professional or athletics director could have written basic disc golf instruction. Dustin Keegan, my companion and my best friend in life and the other half of creating this foundation, him and I are in a unique position. So my background with teaching and educating was a real bonus, and studying biomechanics and posture, line and balance in sports, that was a big bonus. But then there's a whole other piece to being a pro, playing professionally at the highest level, and understanding all the way to what it would take to win a world title, down to how do you hold a disc. Now, that's a really, really small population to be able to find somebody that has all of the understanding and then the tools to be able to discuss. And I wasn't always able to describe how you hold a disc.
Yeah.
I had to build these experiences for myself. And that's how the Uplay book was written and invented, was completely through experience. Yeah.
That's really cool. Cause it's like, you know, in the future now you could get a starter set from a company that comes with the Uplay book, you know, it's like,
yeah.
And then you're ready.
And then you can do it.
That's sweet. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I wish it was that easy. Yeah.
you could try and do it. I've seen, because in schools, I think it said on the Uplay website, actually, that you sort of reach 10,000 students. Just out of interest, do you know how many of those sort of have continued to sort of play disc golf after you've been to the school? Do you have any sort of retention sort of numbers or?
Well, so we're always excited to find out about how many more people are playing, but I'd like to highlight for the people out there, we do know that people that we have taught are playing disc golf, but let's Excellent. Go all the way to what some of our best results are. If you guys are following and watching the pro tour and you're following and watching the players, there's these two 16-year-olds that play pro, men's pro. Cole Radolin is out of Oregon.
Just signed with EV7.
Yes. So you guys are kind of watching Cole. Cole, Dustin and I put the very first disc into Cole and his mom and dad's hands. Well, his dad actually was kind of an enthusiast, but then he came to a clinic and brought mom, Karen, and son, Cole, to learn what disc golf was from Zoe Andike and Dustin Keegan. And he was teeny. He was maybe as tall as my hips are high. And now he's towers over Dustin and I. And he gives Dustin a run for his money, you know, he can give him it any given day. But that would be the highest example of, wow, check it out. We're creating world champions in the making.
Yeah.
But another example, and I think that this is a good one to kind of wrap this question up, is when we were in Vermont at the Green Mountain Championships this year, we taught at Jericho Elementary School. There were a series of 7 different staff members that came out to listen to or be a part of or help, you know, and we get to sign off on these professional development hours for teachers. But something really unique and cool that came out of that day's instruction was feedback or testimonials. One teacher, Amanda, that was only there for a half day, was then able to go to the other school she worked at and teach an entire 9-week unit after just literally half of a day, a couple of classes repeated over and over and over of what the basic introduction was, and then a little bit of time with me. You can do this, this, that, and the other thing. And she was able to go for 9 weeks and teach. And then the other cool part about that specific event is that two of those teachers actually sat on the state of Vermont's board for Shape Conference. And over here in the United States, Shape Conferences are where PE teachers go for professional development. And I was actually invited just because of the presentation was so good that day to speak at the state's Shape Conference. And that happened in November. It was all online, but after 45 minutes with me, an entire state, Vermont's PE teachers can now go and teach. And this is seamless, you know, like nobody had to pay a bunch of money for this huge training. We gave the gift of disc golf and they're ready to go. That's so wicked. You can imagine that Uplay has our eyes set on the entire world. We just have to line ourselves up correctly and fundraise correctly to be able to do this everywhere.
That sort of leads on to my sort of my next question. Obviously, people in this country, I believe Harry Messenger, I think there's a couple of other people who have done fundraisers for Uplay specifically, which is excellent. Is there any sort of ambition to, presumably there is from the last statement, but is there any ambition to bring Uplay into not just the UK, but other countries as well?
Absolutely. So I don't know if all of our listeners know this, but one of the people on my board of directors, and for a nonprofit, your board of directors is your leadership core team. So that's who I, as the executive director, work with to establish everything that we're doing. Anyways, Carol Finlay, not only is a great, great friend of mine personally, but professionally, she has joined our leadership team. So she creates a direct tie to the UK. And probably fast forwards the timing that Uplay will be getting into your country.
Very nice.
And this isn't to say that I have to be the one to physically be there. It's not like that.
No.
Instructing or certifying instructors and making sure that we can just spread the information like wildfire is my prerogative or my mission. And so that just talks about the UK. We've recently had a couple of educators from Russia ask if we are interested in working on a translated version of our playbook. And so that leads us into other speaking, you know, all of the other languages or the top main languages that we can start with a layer so that it's digestible in every language.
Yeah,
is certainly, it's already in progress. It's happening now.
That's amazing.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, just touching on what you were saying in terms of sort of helping, doesn't have to be Uplay per se going out and doing that, but if you can sort of ignite the fire in other people, I think there's a couple of just to name drop a couple in the UK that are doing sort of similar things in terms of going into schools and getting kids playing. I think there's Disc Golf for All and Flight Development, I believe they're called, and they're sort of doing similar sort of things, and it'd be interesting to see if they get some sort of partnership, if you like, set up perhaps. Yes. with sort of other different people that are doing stuff in different countries to try and, yes, sort of like you say, speed that process up, because obviously they're going to have the knowledge of those countries, not just the UK, but
absolutely just in general.
Yeah,
well, unless you guys, I don't know how much familiar everybody on this call is with the work of nonprofits, but you just touched on it. Nonprofits around the world, the only reason they are successful and sustainable is to a term that I like to call collective impact. Nobody is doing nonprofit work on their own. It takes partnerships and it takes coming together, different entities and organizations teaming up. So good example, let's just say Tom is a teacher of a high school and Josh is a elementary school. And they're already teaching disc golf. Well, here I am, Zoe, trying to do it the most efficient and effectively with all the years of experience with the playbook. And I can link up with Tom and I can link up with Josh. I love hearing that they're already teaching disc golf. Now let's see how much more efficient and effective we can do it together. And oh, by the way, Uplay just happens to be in this really amazing position where we work with every manufacturer of discs and baskets. Because we can't be owned or bought by one company. Yeah. We must make this fair and spread it to all. So, oh, Tom, you've got $100 to spend on discs. Let me go through our contacts. We know what everybody's inventory is at, and we have the cheapest prices. Let me resource you with the best deal you can. Josh, you're ready for the playbook and you need 7,000 putters. well, we're going to have to come together and get three manufacturers to come together to resource you with those, you know? And so when you're talking about those places in the UK, it makes me, I just can't even wait for the time that they all get to sit down together and make each other more efficient and a bigger impact.
Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something, Josh. Sorry.
Oh, no.
I'm looking at you. I thought you was going to say something. I was like,
that was pure genius. That's all I had left.
Yeah. All I was going to say, obviously, we'll get on to the sort of the almost the main reason why you've come onto the show in terms of the fundraiser. But how are you finding? Because I believe you're still playing pro disc golf. How are you finding it? How are you managing to juggle? Which is gonna, I mean, what me and Bowen, we sort of co-own a shop, and that consumes a lot of my time as well as working. So I can only imagine on a much bigger scale, obviously you play, how much time that must take and how difficult it would be to juggle playing pro disc golf and running something as big as you play. How'd you do it?
Yeah. Well, you have to imagine the whole reason that this whole show got started is because I'm just obsessed. I'm so passionate about playing disc golf. And I didn't get a chance to practice courses this year. I would play tournaments cold, not necessarily blind. That only happened about two times because I've been touring for many, many 10 years now. And I know most of the tour courses, but I didn't get a chance to practice or play this year before performing. And so there's 50% of what it takes to place or rank. And you might have noticed my ratings and my finishes kind of tanked or dropped this year, but there are certainly still moments where the girl is still in there. I don't know if you guys followed the Music City Open, but I was leading the tournament after the first round and then sadly didn't even cash. But that is a complete testimonial to the player, and the pro is in there. However, she doesn't get to sharpen her skills because she's so busy trying to sharpen the rest of the world's awareness and skills. Yeah. So I constantly have to manage my own heart and my own expectations. And I know that what I'm doing is serving millions, and a bigger number than I'll ever know in my lifetime will be happier because of the work that I'm doing. But that, you know, when you don't cash, when you don't cash after you're leading the tournament, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. It takes meditation and yoga to get past that.
Yoga is so important. I realized last year. Oh my God. Just for recovery. It's just like, oh, as I'm getting older, but no, you're fine. You've got your 5-time Oregon disc golf champ.
2018 world putting champion.
Yeah. Second place Canadian champs 2018.
Yep.
Top 10 and Memorial in 2013.
Yep.
You still got it.
I still got it. And deemed by the pro tour also in 2018. That was a big year for me. That was like my number one year. Voted most spirited in the game. And then also the PDGA, I won the Educator of the Year Oblisk in 2018. So 2018 was a huge pivoting point for my career, knowing what I can do and being professionally ranked well enough to also have earned the respect and put the years and the time in. And then winning that award of Educator of the Year set higher goals for me. Like, what's Zoe's world championship look like? Well, a world title would be cool, but let me tell you what'd be cooler. If the whole world, it was mandatory to teach disc golf to the entire world because it's part of schools and this. And why would that be my world title? Because I know how much happier my life is with disc golf. And if you guys close your eyes and you think about the first time you made a putt, or if you close your eyes and you think about the first time you popped off a drive that really went somewhere, you remember that feeling?
Yeah. I'm still waiting, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Felt so good. And disc golf, that's where you became hooked. And your life was more fun and so much more fruitful that you could now do something that will never be the same every time you do it and that you can always do better at. Name yep. something that checks off all those boxes. And then furthermore, Zoe's world title really started. I really started to see the real picture once I had a chance to work with life skills or special needs programs. Disc golf doesn't discriminate. Nope. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what age you are. Youngest person I've ever worked with was 3 years old. The oldest person I've ever taught private lessons or played with was 99. Wow. And I don't believe that that's a cap on either side. There's probably a 2.5 year old or a 102 year old out there that I could play disc golf with. However, and then there's also the Special Olympics has already adopted disc golf. There's a deaf disc golf community. Nice. And we even know about blind. There is a blind community of disc golf, and it's a very, very special program. I believe the state school is in Tennessee where I first started hearing about how we could work with the blind. And every community, every population that I just named tells you that there is no population that disc golf discriminates. And that right there is how Zoe Van Dyke always wants to operate, you know?
Nice.
Yeah. Everybody. Nice. I want the world to win.
just the best to add to that, there's a sort of an army collective of disc golfers who are trying to create a team, but they're raising money to put I think it's like a 9-hole disc golf course in a military hospital, so amputees who are recovering from sort of injuries at war type thing are able to go out and play, people in wheelchairs, people who have lost a leg and stuff like that. And that's what the beauty of disc golf, isn't it? I mean, you've touched on it then, it's so accessible to everybody. There's no limitations really at all. And
it's just very cool. Therapeutic on many levels as well, you know, just being outside, doing something positive, you know, in nature. It's just the best.
But equally, it could be the most frustrating game in the world.
If you let it.
Tom, thanks for bringing it back to reality. It's the best game, but it's something that provides a challenge that is addicting. Because we can't ever perfect it. We can only continue to try. And that's the coolest thing in the world.
It is.
Absolutely. So the December fundraiser, do you want to explain a little bit what that's about and how people can get involved?
Yes. Yes, thank you. And again, thanks for the opportunity to promote it, because everything that you have all heard me talking about, whether it's the teaching tour, how to spread the word, how are we going to get to certify instructors? All of that costs. There are costs involved with being able to do such an amazing mission and to be able to accomplish everything we even have on 2022's roster. We're only 1/3 of the way there. We've got an amazing finance committee that helps me, or I work with, to develop an annual budget. Our budget is set in place. Our goals are, some people might think we're crazy for all the things that we're trying to accomplish, but I know we can do it because I know I can do it. And my team is amazing. So the December fundraiser serves as one of our biggest fundraisers of the entire year to create next year's schedule or to make sure it can happen. And I'm already doing it. I'm just hoping I can fund it. and so the December fundraiser, for all of you out there, there's a lot of ways to help and to be involved. Now, the obvious one is to donate, but let's say you don't have the means or the resources. I'm sure everybody has a family member or a friend or a business or a email list or a social media account where they can let people know. And when the word gets spread, hey, there's this December fundraiser going on, then there's more opportunities for funds to be raised. And we're raising these funds to accomplish our really high set goals for next year. So there's different incentive tiers, you know, from as little as $25 American all the way up to, I think there's a $5,000 one on there. There's incentives for each tier, but there's the freedom and the creativity for people to just donate what they have. Every dollar counts. And sometimes people want to donate a lot of money and don't even want an incentive. And that's amazing for Uplay's resources as well. So for those of you out there, whether you can tell somebody or share about it, or if you're so inclined and gracious to donate to us, you will directly be helping us achieve our goals. 2022's calendar is huge. We have 17 events in 17 different states. And of course the Pro Tour is part of that, but there's more, you know, there's so much more. And I'd like to say that in 2023 and beyond, there is international more. I believe that we get to pull Canada in as long as the borders stay good. We're working with some of the most incredible movers and shakers and like Johnny Appleseeds of disc golf up in Canada to get back up there this coming year in 2022, as long as the borders stay open. So yeah, I'd like to be able to say 2023 and beyond, UK all day, you know, and I'd like to throw in some other unique countries, maybe South America gets in there, but we're working with the Paul Macbeth Foundation, whom I'm sure you guys know, they install courses all over the world. And so it makes really good sense that we would build our calendars with some of the places or locations that they've built in mind so that we can teach everybody how to use them. So that's another whole thing, just like our partnership with the Pro Tour. Here's the Paul Macbeth Foundation, you know, here's Above and Beyond, places we haven't even dreamt up yet. The December fundraiser really goes towards helping us fund our aggressive goals.
Perfect. I see, just before we come on, I had a look and it's just under $8,000 US dollars, I was gonna say pounds then, just under $8,000 US. You set a target, hopefully surpass that, but you'd set a target of $10,000, so there is a little bit more to give. So we'll obviously put that onto our Instagram page and our Facebook page and sort of share the link, and hopefully we can do our bit to sort of boost it up to get it closer to the goal. Is there anything else you wanted to say, Zoe? Any shout outs, anything like that you wanted to give?
Well, just because of the timing of the year, I want to shout out everybody who's already been a believer and been a supporter. I have to really shout out everybody on my board of directors, every one of our pro coaches that come in and help. You know, it's so special to have professional touring athletes right by my side to teach these kids. They don't even probably know who James Conrad or Paige Pierce is, but they've been taught disc golf by them. So I want to thank all of my pros. I want to thank my board and my staff. And I want to thank everybody out there who's already been a believer, because we haven't even created all of the amazing ways that we're going to take Uplay's, you know, efforts out there to change people's lives. So big shout out to everyone out there who's helping and believing, and thank you for even considering supporting us.
Excellent. Well, I certainly think your enthusiastic approach is definitely going to the sky's the limit. So I really enjoyed having a chat. Hope it was, it's been as pleasurable for you as well. But thank you very much, Zoe, and have a lovely Christmas, because it is a Christmas.
Yeah, you guys too. Thank you so much for having me on at this special time. Merry Christmas to everyone out there, and let's get ready for a huge and exciting 2022.
Yeah.
Only if we've been nice, so not naughty. Thanks very much, Zoe. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that was a pretty cool interview, one that we wanted to do for a while actually, and it's just sort of getting around to it, and I feel like it fit really well at Christmas with like giving the gift of disc golf, shall we say. So that was pretty good. Just so people who are listening think, well, that was a bit odd, why wasn't Dennis involved in that? The interview was recorded about a week after when Dennis was actually heading back to the States for Christmas. So that's why Dennis wasn't on the show, but is back on the show now. So just so that makes some sense.
Hey, it's past me. Oh, hey. I'm back from the future.
Future self is listening.
You look a lot younger.
Future self is listening.
But still is fat.
Just don't meet up with your mom and... like sleep with her, like in
Back to the Future.
Oh, that took a weird turn.
That was awkward. Mom, if you're listening, sorry.
Merry Christmas. This is Jones.
Been tempted by your mom, sounds like.
No, it's always been your mom, me and Mrs. Like. Jones, anyway, so...
Oh, my, yeah.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Excellent.
Back to the Future, I know it's going off topic, but wasn't the second film, didn't the time that was based in, like, happen this year?
No, it was 2015.
Yeah, it was a while ago, but we have passed it.
Okay.
Someone told
October,
me
it was October 10th, 2015.
Someone told me I look like Marty McFly.
Yeah, I can see that a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
So Marty McFly,
yeah. Bit dweeby.
So you look like Michael J. Fox.
So for the last segment of the final show of the year, I thought, what better way of finishing the final show of the season by talking about what we have planned for next season as a team. So we'll start with you, Joshua, because obviously you'll be moving. Well, actually, you and Dennis will be moving divisions, won't you? Because you're going to MA40.
That joke has definitely seen better days.
Yeah, I'm starting to believe it now. Also, I actually don't know how old you are now, Josh.
I've had multiple messages on my birthday. People telling me, like, congratulations on turning 40. And I think it's maybe you guys' fault. But it is hilarious.
It's life imitating art, isn't it?
So, Josh, what have you got planned for this season?
So, this season coming up, I definitely want to play all the majors, which will require going to Ireland and, yeah, some money, I think. Which is unfortunate because I don't think I can qualify for champs at any of the major events. But that's kind of like the more exciting tournament, I think, this year.
They got to give you a wild card. I don't imagine there's going to be a full MPO field anyway, is there?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I'll definitely play more tournaments than that, but...
Is it Coleraine in Ireland?
What?
Coleraine. Is that how you say it? Is that what the course is? Coleraine.
Coleraine. Yeah, it's like Coleraine.
The fact that nobody said anything was making me think, oh, ballsed up here, but no. Yeah.
We couldn't hear you very well.
It's meant to be quite a nice course, I think, by all accounts.
Yeah, I haven't been over there to play at all, so it should be fun. I also want to play the North Devon Open, which is not the North Devon Open anymore. It's the British Open, I think.
Which is the Jubilee?
Jubilee. Yeah. So,
it's the big money tournament, isn't it?
That's it. I'm the defending champion, so I need to get back there and try to reclaim the title.
That's weird, because if that's the British Open, then Jamie is also the defending champion.
That is correct, actually.
Venue
changes, champion stays the same. Is that how it works?
Very strange.
Well, okay, so I won the event at that course last year. So, Jamie, watch out.
If I said to you, both of you, if Jamie's listening, that neither of you will end up winning this tournament.
I'll take the under on that bet, because I know that there's going to be some good European players with that prize money. I mean, obviously, yeah, I would love to win it. Do I think I will? I have to think I will, but will I actually? I don't think so. But I will think that I will, even though I might not.
I just think how cool it would be to sort of compete with... You've competed with, like, top players before.
I competed against Simon Lazat.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And got beat real bad.
I feel like that would be pretty cool to... it's another chance of playing with some, like, really sort of well-known players. Because I think a few decent named players are going to come over for that tournament.
Yeah. No, I always like a chance to getting spanked by actual good disc golfers.
Yeah. No, that sounds really good. Dennis, we'll go to you next.
What are my plans? I don't know. It's up in the air. I've been toying with the notion of moving to MA2.
You should.
But I'm also... I am... Or I will be eligible for MA40. So I could always bounce in between the two depending on the competition. I don't think I'll win either one of those divisions. But this next year will be my last year in England. And my goal is just to hang out with my friends, travel the country, and play as much disc golf as possible, and basically say my last goodbyes before I move back to the States. I'm also toying with playing in Europe. I think maybe in February I might go to Spain and play a tournament there. And then
Mijas.
Yes. And then in April go to Copenhagen and play there. That way I can knock out some of my European traveling since I've been here. That COVID is obviously screwed up. But if none of that happens, I'm still going to play disc golf probably every weekend and try to get better. And this time next year, I will be not here.
What's the plan further afield when you move back? Are you gonna What are you gonna do? Are you gonna be doing tournaments in America?
Yeah, I have no idea where I'm moving to. I have no idea what kind of job I'm gonna have. So it's gonna take a few months to figure all that stuff out. And obviously, if I'm moving back this time next year, depending on where I go, I mean, it's gonna be winter no matter where I go. But obviously, the temperature will dictate how much I play. So it'll give me some time to meet locals. But I do want to play. I will definitely play tournaments. Obviously, I can't play on a national level, so it might be just like a state level or a local regional level. But again, I've never played disc golf in the States. I don't know how they're set up. I don't know how any of that stuff works. So
They seem, whenever I've looked, seen online, they seem to still do scoring via scorecards and like the old style system. All, pretty much all tournaments seem to be run like that. Is that not the case, Josh?
I don't know what you're looking at.
Okay. Everywhere I've read, they've got, you get a board and you pick your card up at the start, and every time they talk about bags and stuff, I've been watching like bag reviews and things like that, and they've gone, this is really good for having your scorecard in, and you're like, I've literally never seen a scorecard.
Yeah. I think COVID made us push to playing, doing UDisc and PDGA live. So I think now that everybody knows how that works, it's just going to continue doing it that way.
That's like so convenient.
I mean, but disc golf's old school in the States, and you got a lot of guys that run events there that are old school in their thinking, and there might be still paper cards out there, but I enjoy a paper card now that I don't ever see them anymore. It's fun. It's like something you can save, you know, to remember.
Yeah, it'll be like a free souvenir, yeah. Excellent. Question for you then, Dennis. How much does where you move to, how much is that dependent on decent disc golf courses?
At one out of, from 0 to 10, how dependent?
From 0 out of 10, a 3.
Okay.
It's definitely, it's not at all a deciding factor.
I'm disappointed.
Well, the number one deciding factor is money. So I will move wherever I can get paid the most money. And then from there, I'll move to the place that has a couple of local disc golf courses around me.
I suppose, in a way, though, there's that many courses in America that wherever you move, you're not going to be a million miles away from courses anyway. So
I really do hope so. You know, I'm blessed here where I live that within 45 minutes, I have, you know, 5 or 6 courses. And then it's easy to travel up and down this country to play some of the other courses like Bluebells and Manchester and Essex. What I'm really looking forward to when I move is just seeing what different courses are out there and how that compares to the courses over here. Obviously, like I said, I've never played in the States. I don't know really how good players in my division are there and how I will fare with them. You know, if I go and thinking that I'm now bottom of MA2 here, I could show up there and all of a sudden I'm bottom of MA3. So that's going to be fun to see. And just as well, like different states have different features. So if I move to the Southwest, it's going to be a lot more arid and deserty and rocky. So that could be a new challenge.
You might be at elevation as well.
Well, not in the Southwest.
I was thinking, is it Colorado? There's a lot of elevation.
Colorado's got some Midwest. Elevation. If I move to the Southeast, it's probably going to be a lot more wooded golf because of all like the trees that you got in Georgia and Alabama. Florida would be sandy. Obviously, if you move up to the New England area, it's going to be wooded and open, but it's also going to be a lot colder.
That's going to be
winter,
your best option less time for classic courses and, well, or California.
Yeah, but California's expensive, and then I have to worry about the 2 meter rule.
Yeah, fuck that. I didn't move.
You're going to be like that.
No, I was going to say, I didn't move to California because of the 2 meter rule.
Yeah.
What is the two meter rule?
If someone drives before you and then you drive after them and your disc lands within 2 meters of that disc, you have to re-tee.
You're making this up.
This is old school disc golf.
I don't know if you take
it. It only counts in California.
Only in California does the 2 meter rule take effect.
So what does it mean? If you drive and you land within 2 meters of someone, you've got to re-tee.
Yeah. It's a safety. Why? It's a safety issue.
Yeah, with a penalty stroke.
I don't know if you're lying to me or not.
Look it up. Look up the 2 meter rule.
You've never heard of the 2 meter rule.
Mate, I don't pay attention to anything.
Okay, well, we're totally lying to you.
But there is a 2 meter rule. The 2 meter rule is if you throw a disc in California and it lands in a tree and the disc is above 2 meters,
it's a penalty.
It's a penalty.
Why is that just in California? Because it's been changed everywhere else.
I think it was everywhere to begin with, but California was the birthplace of disc golf, and they want to keep it old school.
So when like the pros go and play tournaments in California, what's the big one? The really tough.
The Las Vegas Challenge.
That would be in Nevada, not California. Do you really think that Las Vegas is in California?
We're
talking about De La Vega.
That's it. So when they play in De La Vega, when they play there, the pros have to go and abide by the 2 meter rule, which really makes them upset because it's a wooded course.
Well, okay. I think it's because it is so wooded and they're trying to, I guess, because usually you're trying to break the hole and like go up and over the top. Instead of playing the intended fairway. So you're kind of cheating the course.
And being punished if you mess up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Nice.
Hey, Duffy,
I was going to say, you're going to be like littlest hobo, aren't you, before like trying to figure out where you're going?
No, before I leave here, I will have a job and know exactly where I'm going. And
Back to Georgia.
One more question to you, Dennis. When you go back over the Christmas period, obviously not saying where you're going to, but obviously it's going to be pretty cold. Are you planning on playing disc golf when you go back?
I would like to go play a round of disc golf with my son. Just go to like play it against sports, buy two putters at a mid-range, and just take my 12-year-old son out and go throw some discs, just him and me spending time out there. Yeah, it's going to be cold and snowy probably, but it's something that I love, and I want to show him like my passion for it. But I don't know if any of you other fathers, I have a hard time not teaching my children, but I'm not a good teacher to my children. So me personally, I'll have to either just let him throw and have fun as a kid, or ask him before we start if he wants guidance and how to do it correctly. And if he just wants to have fun, then we're just going to go out there and rip it and just spend the day together.
Yeah, no, that sounds pretty good. What about you, Bowen? What's your plans for this next year?
Good question. First things, grow the shop, I suppose. That's the main sort of aim. Like, we want to get that really rolling in 2022, don't we? So,
are you going to be running that Arrow Valley League?
I won't be running any leagues or
no, what I mean is like winning it, being the master of Arrow Valley?
Nah, I doubt it. I'm going to play a few tournaments. Like, I'm the problem is there's not a lot to aim for as an MA4 player. Like, and if I can improve, I'll move up to MA3, but I doubt that's going to be next year because I don't have enough time to play. But I definitely want to do a couple of away days, let's put it that way. I want to come up to Bluebells because you lot said how good it is. So I'll be trying to enter the Blue Bells tournament. Today we'll just see how it goes.
You played Croydon yet?
I haven't played Croydon yet. It's one I'm trying to avoid because I've been told it's so hard.
It'd be good to go down to Croydon though, because you can. They generally do like a one-day tournament throughout the year, at least one anyway. So with like having the little one, or not so little one anymore, but if with having Millie, you'll be able to get down there and back, and it might be doable for you. But it's a good one to go to.
Yeah, I love one weekend away. Like I do struggle because I am like a. I'm not a single father. I don't have rules of time, but my main time to have is like the weekend. So I sort of took a back seat with disc golf tournaments.
And for people who don't know, Bowen is very, very dedicated to that. Which a lot of respect for him, to be fair with that, and he's a good dad.
Some things are more important than disc golf.
Yeah,
nuts.
You're all nuts. But some things.
Josh will be discovering that next year as well.
No, yeah, exactly. No. Just because I'm having a kid doesn't mean I'm going to value it more than disc golf.
Oh, yeah.
I love how you just said it. You're well on your way. So, good start.
Damn it. Blair doesn't listen to this show. I'm all right.
All right. So where is she?
Where is she? Is she in the room with you?
Guys, she's... I think she's downstairs.
Yeah.
I say downstairs and it sounds like I live in a nice two-floor flat, but literally it's four steps down just to our bedroom.
you live in London and have a two-story house.
We'll call it split level.
Split level accommodation.
Open floor plan.
No, I
wish. Fireplace on the wall.
You see my fireplace. It's on my TV. it's playing a fire. It's very warm.
Do you know what you're like, Josh? You're like the typical 65 to 70 year old woman in the UK who has the makes you feel warm. The TV makes you feel warm somehow, doesn't it?
I'm still 65 70 year old woman.
I don't understand him either.
Like, all I'm saying is this is the Christmas episode. I have Christmas garb and trees and stuff in the background, and you guys, if I was just looking at you guys, if everyone else could see you, there's no Christmas anything.
Well, that's...
I've got a Christmas jumper on.
Okay. All right, Bowen. Bowen and I...
You guys are made for each other.
And then you two guys.
The cheaters. Well, the cheaters.
I hate Christmas.
What did Santa not do to you?
We don't have enough time in the world. Plus, right. Why am I going to put up a tree and decorate it when nobody's going to give me presents to put underneath it?
Wow, wow, wow. And on that bombshell, everybody.
Yeah. One present from you to your wife and one present from your wife to you.
True.
I don't have that luxury.
I'm just glad she stopped at like four because I don't know what else to buy.
Yeah, but in the spirit of Christmas, Dennis, at least you're being able to go back and spend time with your kids.
That is absolutely correct. I haven't seen my kids in 2.5 years, and so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So that's something to look forward to, even if you don't like Santa Claus.
Yeah, exactly. Duffy, what are you going to do next year?
I won't be playing as many two-day tournaments for the simple fact of it being difficult with childcare. My plan is to play... I'd like to play Blue Bells, and I'd like to play another two-day tournament, whether that's Essex or... When Josh said about Ireland, I'm thinking, I wonder if I could get over to Ireland.
Yeah, Ireland would be fun.
Me, you, a Guinness.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. But so probably two-day tournaments... I'm not too fussed about trying to get into the British Champs next year because I don't think that would happen anyway. I don't think I'd be winning. I'm going to be sticking in MA3, but I don't think I'd be winning an MA3 tournament. So
Where's Champs going to be?
I don't know. I don't think it's been announced.
I think there's going to be an Amateur Champs and an MPO Champs. They're two different locations.
We're not going to go into that this week.
It triggers Bowen.
I think they're going to release the dates very soon, though.
I did see a post by the BDGA today saying that they're really close.
Yeah. So maybe by the time everyone hears this, it will have been released, and then we're going to have the BDGA on to explain themselves and also kind of, you know, explain the structure as well. So
that's something to look forward to with the podcast. And much like Bowen said, try and work on the shop, try and get more good quality discs in at really reasonable prices, and try and grow the shop, which we both really enjoy that. Put some more videos out, continue doing the podcast, get some great guests on, and just try and get out and have fun, basically, because that's what I sometimes forget the point of disc golf is, just going out and having fun. And I find when we have casual rounds, we have some real good fun, but when it gets to tournaments, it gets quite serious. So
I thought the round that we filmed, that was some of the most fun that I've had in a long time.
Yeah.
Like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, Duffy and I still play probably once a week together, and we are still very much competitive with each other. But it's just a lot of fun, and we try new things, and we still talk shit with each other. And yeah, we get frustrated at ourselves when we don't throw a disc at the level that we think we should. So that's still frustrating, but that's the whole point of practicing. Go ahead and open your beer.
There we go. Merry Christmas, everybody. And we'll, why don't we end it there? Why don't we say Merry Christmas, one and all. Remember to keep it in the chains.
Merry Christmas, keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains. Merry Krimma.
In the chains.
Keep it.
Keep it there.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope you have a lovely Christmas and a good new year. And we'll see you next year.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Just like the ones I used to know.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.